In 1983, on the holidays, I came to New York to be by the Rebbe. I was 17 years old. I remember my brother was already living in the United States. He was sent as a Chabad boy, they used to do exchanging programs. They sent students to other yeshivas. He was sent to Seattle, Washington. He tells me, oh, tomorrow I'm going to a wedding. It's a Baal Tshuva, somebody became religious from Seattle. He doesn't have to know him a little bit. He doesn't have too many friends. I'm going to the wedding. Fine. The next morning, the night of the wedding, the bride, who was also a Baal Tshuva, from New York, gets a phone call from the Rebbe's office. The Rebbe's secretary is on the line. Tells her the Rebbe said that he's going to make a farbringen tonight. Now, that was not a night planned for a farbringen. The farbringen was supposed to be a night later, and that's why they set up the wedding on this night. But the Rebbe said for spiritual reasons, he's going to make the wedding on this night. Now, if you hear there is a farbringen that night, that's bad news for your wedding. Because the farbringen was the show in town. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to be by the Rebbe's farbringen.
But this was a surprise.
Yeah, there was a surprise for Brengen.
Right.
Everybody wanted to be there, and everybody, thousands of people pushing to go. Nobody's missing the Rebbe's for Brengen because the Rebbe is to speak, and it was singing. It was an amazing event. The bride hears the news. The Rebbe is making a for Brengen tonight. But the secretary tells her, but the Rebbe wants to appease the bride, to make her happy. And what is this making her happy? First of all, he tells her, listen, your wedding is supposed to start 6:30. Usually Hasidic weddings, people come late. Mm-hmm. Call all the vendors and make sure that they come on time, and you let everybody know that the wedding will be on time. The farbringen starts 9:30 at night. By that time, most of your wedding will be done. And the Rebbe tells her, I want to invite you and your husband, by then you and your groom, to come, you know, by the end of the wedding, you also do Sheva Brochas. You read the same seven blessings that you recite under the chuppah, you recite by the end of the wedding. Everybody gets around the table and you bench, grace after meal, and then you do the seven blessings.
I think I remember that from one of your daughter's weddings.
You probably remember that, yes, yeah. Yes. Then he said, the end of your wedding, don't do it at the hall, it's across the street of 770. Come over, we'll do it by the farbringen. That's
great.
That's something that almost never happened.
Was it a special family or something?
No, nothing. But because the Rebbe felt, because the Rebbe felt that he's taking away from her wedding,
right.
And a wedding in Judaism is a very important event to make, because it's a mitzvah to make the make the bride and groom rejoice, to make them happy, especially the bride. That the Rebbe wanted to make her happy, he says, end of the wedding will be in the middle of the farbringen in front of everybody, and the farbringen is broadcast all over the world. And then the Rebbe secretary asked her, are you agree? But you need to say no. She hung up the phone, she felt devastated. He's a Baal Tshuva. They don't have too many friends to begin with. Now the farbringen is going to be, nobody's going to come to my wedding. Oh, she was, you know, bright on the day of her wedding, the emotions. An hour later, she gets a phone call from the rabbi who was the head of her seminary where she studied. Tells her, oh, I hear the news, you're so lucky. You will Sheva Bochas to be at the Rebbe's for bringing. She goes, I don't think I'm so lucky. Nobody's going to come to the wedding. You know, girls, the bottom line is, he tells her, what are you saying? He said, the rabbi tells her, I will be at your wedding until the end. I'm not going to the farbringen. Until the end, the wedding is over, then I'm going. And the rabbi of the groom, the rabbi from Seattle, said he's not moving until the bride gives him permission that he can go.
Okay.
She started to feel a little better.
So they're doing the right thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Came the chuppah, every time the chuppah in the Tzinkar nights, it's in front of 770. She came to the chuppah, 6 o'clock, and you know, you cover the bride with the veil. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You veil. But in by Hasidic community, you veil with a real veil. You don't see the face.
Sure.
She picked up the veil after the chuppah. She saw hundreds of people around her. Hundreds. The Rebbe said that people should go to the chuppah, to the wedding especially, because he's making a chuppah. Right after they walked into the cemetery, to the private room, they came out from the private room. The Rebbe was already, the Rebbe went home to eat dinner. He was in the car. The Rebbe saw from the side of his eye, he saw the bride and the groom. The Rebbe told the driver to back up. The Rebbe came out from the car and gave him an beautiful blessing with a smile. Congratulated for them. They went to the wedding. She says, many, many people she never saw in her life showed up just to make the wedding a big, happy event. And the wedding went late at night, and many guys, I think if I remember, even my brother was staying longer than the beginning of the Farbringen. You understand, for a chassid to miss a Farbringen, he'll rather lose a finger.
Right. Imagine, especially when he was alive.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. It was like, every place by the Farbringen was like, I inherited my place from my uncle.
You inherited your place.
It was the place, it was so squished there. Yeah. Everybody had a spot, they were standing. We're standing, not sitting. And for this spot, you are ready to die.
On the street or inside?
Inside the synagogue, it was a huge synagogue, but still.
Yeah.
And on Shabbos, there is no microphones, but even during the week. And everyone that was, I got it, my uncle went to be Chabad Abba in Brazil, he gave me the place and he gave me, everything was a story.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wanted to be there. Everyone. Then they stayed for the wedding, and then by the end of the wedding, they came to 770. As they walked in, they were ushered straight to the front, because they, as the bride and the groom, you need to make sure, Boris. Usually this couple would stay by the Farbringen next to the door. They don't have connection, they don't have an uncle, and a cousin, a brother, and a friend, and a this, and you know how life is.
Right.
They were ushered to the front. And as the Rebbe, they came in, the Rebbe spoke about the importance of bride and celebrating with the bride and the groom, and invited them, and then there was Sheva Bocha said, and it was singing, and the Rebbe started to sing a wedding song, and it was broadcast all over the world, and near wedding became a part of the Chabad history for generations to come, something that would never happen on a regular day.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of weddings taking place in Crown Heights when the Rebbe was alive. My wedding is not as right. important as their wedding.
Right.
I got married in Cleveland actually, but I got a blessing from the Rebbe right before I came here. I mean, for the wedding. The Rebbe was alive and healthy when I was my wedding.
Purpose. I mean, it's not a. I mean, is it more of a? What's the point of getting what would have been the point of getting the blessing?
The Rebbe's blessing for the wedding?
I mean, you're getting your father's blessing or your mother's blessing, but...
Your father and your mother are important to you?
Yes.
The Rebbe is your spiritual father and mother together.
And I know your rabbi is... You're supposed to honor your rabbi above your father, but...
Why? Because the Rebbe is a holy man and he has a stronger connection with God. And when he gives you a blessing, God listens a little louder or better. The channels are open much clearer. Beside the guidance that he gave me, in my life that he gave me, all who I am is because of the Rebbe.
Mm-hmm.
This Shabbos is the beginning of the month, is Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Mm-hmm.
Elul is the acronym of a verse in the Bible that is very famous. It's printed on invitations, on jewelry. Ani ledodi vedodi li. I'm to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. This comes from the book, it's called Song of Songs. Shir HaShirim, written by King Solomon. Mm-hmm. It's one of the scriptures, Megillot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the Bible. Now, if you would open the book Song of Songs and read it, you wouldn't believe that it made it to the Bible. It's basically a love
right.
affair, a love right. story. Oh, I love you, you love me, I love you, and very,
right.
very descriptive, very
yeah.
detailed.
Sounds like between a man and a woman.
Yeah, and the Talmud says it was in the time of the early sages was a discussion if to include it in the Bible or not.
Mm-hmm.
Until Rabbi Akiva came and made a statement, and that was the end of it. He says, if all the books are holy, Shir HaShirim, Song of Song, is the holy of holiest. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's a description of the love between God and the Jewish people. It's not about husband and wife.
Right.
It's about our relationship, our romantic... King Solomon came and explained us that our relationship with God is not only a king and subjects. It's a love affair.
Right.
It's a marriage. It's a love affair. Exactly.
And we betrayed him, you know, with the calf. But
yeah, and a few other times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you.
A million other times.
But you make up.
Yeah.
And what is anile dodi v'dodi? I'm to my to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. But after that, there is one more line. And many people, another two words that's there, and not too many people know about it. Aroe bashoshanim, the one who shepherds, who is shepherding or is walking around among the roses.
Okay.
Or lilies, what it's called? Lily?
Lilies, that's a flower.
Lilies, yeah. A flower. It could be translated as roses or lilies.
They're two different flowers, but okay.
But very similar, I mean.
Okay.
It's an argument, lilies or okay. Roses. Lilies, how you say it?
Lily.
Lily. A plural?
Lilies.
Lilies.
Yeah.
To me, it's all the same. Shine. Now, what does this mean? What is the roses here there? Then, no matter if it's a lily or a rose, it's a flower that it's for beauty.
Right.
You see, there is the earth, the field grows many things. It grows wheat and barley. That's a necessity. You cannot live without it. Fruits and vegetables, you have to eat, you have to survive. Some for you can live without one food or other, but it's sustenance. Then there is things who are just there for beauty. Lilies, roses, just for beauty. Mm-hmm. If it wouldn't be a lily or a rose, you'll die. You'll live. Just like gold. God created gold.
It serves no purpose.
Yeah, it's for beauty, for beautifying the world.
Right.
The same thing is a rose or a lily. It's just there for beauty.
Yeah.
Not for any other specific, you can survive without it. Now, a couple in a marriage life, what you need to be? A good provider. Take care of people. I tell you, my wife, feed her. I don't know what she wants. I provide her well. I give her everything she wants. She has the all money in the world. She can do whatever she wants. I don't know what she wants from me. You know what she wants from you? A bouquet of roses. What I mean, there is sometimes to wake up the love.
The following announcement is just a drill.
The month of Elul is the same story. Every year, on the high holidays, on Rosh Hashanah, we renew the vows with God. We are married to God. Every Rosh Hashanah, we renew the vows. It's like a covenant all over again. Then the month before, God is courting the Jewish people, reaching out to his bride, to the Jewish people. God is the groom, we are the bride, to renew the vows. And we reach out to him. And during this month, it's anile dodi v'dodi li. I'm to my beloved, that's why the name of the month in Hebrew represents this four words. Because this is about the relationship, renewing the relationship. To renew the vows, you need to have first a good relationship.
Right.
Then, how you to improve the relationship? Sometimes, the regular bread and butter is not enough. I give her everything. She wants the love. The bouquet of roses who wakes right. up the love, who elevates the couple, brings some light, changes the atmosphere in the house. The little thing. Mm-hmm. The same thing is now marriage. What does this mean between Jewish people and God? When every Jew has his bread and butter, what I mean to say, every Jew has the mitzvahs that he's going to do no matter what. He's going to do it. As a Jew, he's going to do it. Whatever it is, if it's fasting and Yom Kippur, or some people will put on film, women will light candles. Whatever it is, every Jew has his things. That feels that it makes him Jewish. But to renew the vows, to renew the love, mm-hmm. sometimes you have to bring a bouquet of roses. sometimes we have to offer a mitzvah to God that we didn't plan to do. We are obligated in everything, but what I didn't plan wasn't on my bucket list. An extra mitzvah. That's why there is a custom before Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah to take upon yourself a new mitzvah, because we have to bring to the table something more exciting, goodwill,
right.
The extra mile. It's something that you do it only for God. I didn't plan to do it. I didn't do it for my own Jewish identity, for my own guilt, or for my own this. I'm doing it just to wake up the love between us, to renew the marriage, the excitement, to renew the vows. And when we show goodwill, God shows goodwill. Mm-hmm.